We're excited about what God is doing, and we're excited to be a part of it. I appreciate the musicians and the singers and the wonderful atmosphere that they create, and they help us to come into the presence of God. I appreciate our media team working with us on all of these projects and these services. They are doing such an excellent job, and just everybody that's involved. We really want you to turn your home into a sanctuary, and this is perfectly fitting with our perspective on value and our perspective on priorities, because we believe that the emphasis of the kingdom is on the individual, and the corporate is never any stronger than the individual. And so you have to have this, and it has to be real in you. And we baptize individuals, and the kingdom fills individuals with the Holy Ghost, and we disciple individuals, and then the next circle in sequence is that husband or that wife, and that marriage becomes the cornerstone of that home and family, and it becomes crucial to the kingdom of God. The corporate body, the corporate church, will never be any stronger than the people that make it up and the marriages that it is built upon. And then the next circle will be the children, and the children make up that family, and that family becomes the building block of the church. And those are your initial priorities, and those are the places where you should put most of your energy, and then your vocation or your job, and then you bring all the strength of all of that into corporate settings. And we love it. We're social creatures. We're gregarious by nature, and we enjoy being with one another. But what we experience in juntos, what we experience in our corporate fellowship, is what we are at the house, and what we are in our private time of prayer, and what we are when we're seeking God as an individual and as a family. And here this COVID thing came, and somebody might have meant it for evil, but God means it for good. And in this time of this season of life, you can take and you can sink deep roots down in your home. You can have extraordinary worship in your home and with your family, and you can stand on the edge of what one day will come to all of us. It will be, we are in the beginning of sorrows right now. We are moving into the end time, and the prophecy is coming to pass. And so this is just a little taste of how a little tiny invisible bug can shut down the most robust economy in the whole world and can bring a nation almost to its knees. But I want you to know that when those things happen, God is still God. The truth is still the truth. The kingdom still moves on toward promise. We just have to know, what does this mean, and how should we respond in this day? And we're doing the best we can in this. So sink your roots, build your house stronger, because we're coming to a place where who knows what the corporate situation will be like. But Paul did some of his best work in a jail cell. And it's amazing what you can do when the devil cuts you off from everybody. And you can become, if you are able to live for God by yourself, and you need to be able to. You need to be able to stand and say, as for me and my house. That is not a corporate statement. That's a statement about a man and his essential priorities in life. All right. Well, so good to be with you. We've been having good Bible studies every morning at 8 and 9. It's my desire to do that again this week. And we're getting a good response. And so we want to sow seed as effectively as we can. And some of you, I'm still doing your individual Bible studies online. And with these others, we're just moving through the sequence of the Bible study program. And we're going to archive those so they'll be a resource to all of our Bible study teachers, to our church family, and to those that would like to study the Bible. And online is going to be their best approach. So we're really excited about what God is doing. We have a wonderful young lady that's coming this morning to be baptized. She'll be here about 11:30. Somebody let her in. Make sure she can get in. And they'll be coming in, mom and dad, and they'll be coming in for baptism around 11:30. And we're excited about that. If you are with us today and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, but you would like to, from anywhere in town, you're less than 45 minutes away. Come on. We've got robes. We've got everything you need. We've got water. And we've got the Word of God to show you that everybody, every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And when you go down in that water, you've already repented and you've already prayed and asked God to forgive you of your sins. And that's the first step. The next step is the watery grave, and the old person is buried and the new person comes forth. And then we'll pray with you. And I tell you, God is in favor of you coming into redemption, and God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He really does. I don't know what you've done or where you've been or what kind of life you've lived, but it won't matter. Today can be the beginning of a brand new life and a brand new experience in God. And everybody said, praise the Lord. And concerning lifestyles and the world around us, the scripture says, and such were some of you, and we were those. And we can testify to you today and say, living for God is the best decision I ever made. And the things that God has done in my life, I wouldn't trade them for anything. And I, the further I go and the older I get, the more appreciative I am of what God has planned for us and what God is doing. We're going to read this morning in Joshua chapter 3, and we're making our way into the promised land. We've buried Moses, and we're now under the leadership of Joshua, and we're making our way into the promised land. And this is where they actually pass over Jordan, the Jordan River, and they're going to move on into the promise of God. So Joshua chapter 3, a few verses 13, 14, 16, and 17. It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand in an heap. And it come to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. So this was a flood season. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over. So let's give God some praise and thanks for his word as we start this morning. Mighty God, we thank you for the privilege of handling your word in this house. We thank you, God. I pray you'd let it be seed in every heart and in every home. Let it revolutionize our lives again and afresh and anew. Let the word of God give us greater wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Help us to see more clearly, God, all of the wonderful things that you have in store for us. Let the word of God speak to every heart today. And we ask that you would do it in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Let's clap our hands unto him and give him a little praise here. Ah, we praise you, Lord, and we magnify you, O God, and we thank you, O Lord. Praise God. So in this setting, as was their custom and had been for the last 40 years, when they would move from one encampment to another, the first thing that would move would be the pillar of cloud and fire, the emblem of the presence of God. And it would lead them, and there would be trumpet blasts, and the people would know to fold up their tents and get ready and begin to move. And as they would go, in the lead of the progression would be the priests bearing the Ark of the Testament and the mercy seat and the cherubim, and the law of God was in that box, and the provision of God was in there, and the authority of God was in there, and the priests would lead the way, and the people would follow after. Now, on this occasion, they're crossing over the Jordan River, and the Jordan River is the dividing line, and a generation before, Israel had come to this point, and because of the resistance and the giants and their fear and their unbelief, they were not able to cross over into promise, and they all died in the wilderness. And it's been 40 years since that time, and now a new generation under the leadership of Joshua is ready to enter in. There was a moment like this back when they came out of Egypt the very first time. When they came out of Egypt, God parted the waters of the Red Sea. And they changed in that night. They came out of slavery and bondage and became a free people. And in a few days, they would move to Mount Sinai and they would come under the constitution of the Word of God. And they would change their entire culture and their encampment, and the whole way that they lived would change in just a very short period of time. And it was more than just passing through a place of sand and rock and water. It was more than just passing through a wall of water on the right hand and on the left. That was miraculous in the natural, but there was more than that happening there. Those people had a transformation. They had a transformative experience. They had a transcendent experience. They moved from slavery to a nation in their own right, and they became the people of God under the banner of the Word of God, and they experienced a transformation. And in this text today, they're transforming from wandering in the wilderness into a land of possession and into a land of promise. And I want you to consider and understand that this is a transformation in their life. And this also is a transcendent experience that they're having. And they're changing from wilderness wanderers, a nation of unbelief, a nation that could not and would not. And they were not possessors of the promise. And they're about to change in a day's time to a people that are entering in, and a people that say yes, and a people that will obtain and embrace the promise of God. So I want to suggest to you that these are transcendent moments, and there's more at work here than what you see with the natural eye, because lives are changing and destinies are changing and history is changing because they're moving from one place to another. But it's not the geographic location that makes the change. It is because they pass through a dynamic in the spirit, because there's been a breach in the spirit, and God's opened up a possibility for them that wasn't there 10 years ago or 15 years ago. But something is come together now, and they are going to cross over into something they've never had before. And these are transcendent moments, and it's like the day that they crossed the Red Sea. It's like this moment where they're crossing over Jordan. It's where Jesus meets with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, or the Old Testament story where Elijah goes up in a whirlwind and in a fiery chariot. It is like the ladder that Jacob saw when he was stopping at Bethel on his way to the house of Laban, and he stops and he dreams and he sees a ladder from heaven to earth, and he sees angels ascending and descending. All of these instances, all of these stories have a common thread, and the common thread is there was a breach, there was a door, there was a portal, there was an opening from one dimension to another, from the dimension of the natural to the dimension of the spirit. And not only is it just simply a door that's open, but there is business that's conducted from one world to another. There's commerce that takes place from one dimension to another, and people's lives are changed in a moment of time because they've touched something heavenly and they've seen something from the realm of God, and something comes into their world that wasn't there before, and lives are altered and destinies are changed because of a breach in the dynamic of the spirit, a doorway between the natural dimension and the spiritual dimension. And so because of these stories and because of these presentations in the scripture, then I infer that there is access, there is movement, there is commerce, there's transport from one of these worlds to the other. You can call them worlds if you like. You can call it heaven and earth. You can call it dimensions if you like. But there is a transfer that takes place. And there is, if you would, a door that opens up, or a portal that is swung wide and it swings both ways. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24, so he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the tree of life. And in that instance, that's where Adam and Eve fall from the garden, and they've eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and so they won't eat of the tree of life and live forever in their broken, fallen, distorted, sinful state. God sets a flaming sword and a cherubim at that place, an angelic figure with a sword. I'm going to suggest to you, because of the rivers that are listed there about Eden, two of them are the Tigris and the Euphrates. I want you to know the Garden of Eden, as far as it was superimposed upon the earthly landscape, was somewhere around Iraq. I'm going to make an assumption here that that still is superimposed there, but there's no longer access to that garden from the earthly dimension, because the door is closed and there's an angel there that says no admittance anymore. Now, there's going to be a day when that angel and that sword are taken out of the way and men are able to transfer back and forth to that place and eat of the tree of life again. But right now the door is closed. But I'm telling you, there is an access way between heaven and earth. There's an access way between the dimension of the spirit and the dimension that we live in on earth. The word of God says the angels are encamped round about them that fear the Lord and that serve him. And sometimes you get to see them. Sometimes they come through the veil, if you would, or pass through the portal, if you would. But they're always there. And so these dimensions are not one light years off in a vertical sense, because it's not geographic, it's not spatial in nature, but it's spiritual and dimensional in nature. And the two dimensions are right next to one another, which is really, really good, because I want you to understand the scripture says that God is not far from any one of us. He's right there. No matter where you are, God is right there. And all you've got to do is find the doorknob. All you've got to do is find the door. Find the way to get yourself into where God is, or swing it wide and let God into where you are. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now that's true. It's global. It's universal. It doesn't matter if it's some little guy in Tibet or somebody down in the Horn of Africa or somebody in dead Europe or anywhere on the face of the earth right now. If you can find the way to open the door, God says, I'm at the door and I'm constantly knocking. I'm touching everybody. I'm trying to get into everybody's heart. If you're a stranger to Pentecost, I want you to know that's what you've been hearing in the night when you've been feeling a stirring inside and a drawing that you can't identify. It's Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. It's Jesus knocking on the door. He's right here. He's in a heavenly dimension this morning, separated from you. But it wouldn't take a second for you to fall on your knees and by repentance in response to the word of God, open up a door and let him into where you are. You've been feeling this drawing. You've been feeling this hunger. You've been feeling this urgency and you don't know what to do with it. I want you to know he's standing at the door and he's knocking right now. And he says, if you'll open the door, if you'll hear his voice, you got to shut down all the noise. You got to shut down all the clutter. You've got to begin to listen to him. And just next time you hear that, say, Lord, is that you? God, is that you talking to me, Lord? Because he can be drawing you for years, and we're so dense as humanity. We're so far from God, we can't hear him. We can hear everything else in our world around us, all the clutter, all the background noise, but we can't hear the most important voice later on, as you live for him, he says, my sheep know my voice, and we can hear him through the clutter. It cuts through for us, but it takes a while for you to get acclimated to his world and his voice. But next time you feel that, or next time you hear that down in your soul, just say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Or say, here I am, talk to me, help me to make my way to you, because he's eager to do that. John, the revelator, is the apostle John, and he's on a prison island, and he's sent there to die by Rome. And he says this, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, if you're unfamiliar with the phrasing, when he says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, it's not like Ekankar where you leave your body. That's real troubling to me, because if you lost your way back or somebody moved your body, it sounds like a disaster. But he says, I was in the spirit. In Bible speak, that means you're praying and you're just losing touch with the natural around you. You're praying or you're worshiping, and it's like that's all that matters to you. And you are in the spirit. You are in the realm. And you, and we'll talk about it in a minute, in that moment, you're opening up a portal and you're opening up an aperture, a way, a doorway between the two dimensions. He says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. He opened something up and God stepped into the breach saying, I am Alpha and Omega. God is the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. So this is where John gets the information or the mandate to write the book of Revelation. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, which are the emblem of revelatory knowledge. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. That's what John called Jesus. And he is the Son of Man to John. But when John saw him this time, he fell out and passed out and had to be revived, because it was the glorified Jesus. But I want to suggest to you, there is an opening. There is a doorway. There is a dynamic breach that can take place between the two dimensions. Revelation 3:8, he says to this little church in the end time, I know thy works, and a real church in Asia Minor. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. Everybody say an open door. This is where God can open up a door and say, this door will remain open. It's going to be the kind of place where there will continually be traffic back and forth and commerce back and forth. And it's not a place that has to be muscled open. It's a place where you prayed so well and you've worshiped so long and you've adhered to the word of God so faithfully that now there's a door open and there is free and open commerce between the dimension of the spirit and the dimension that you're living in on earth. And no man can shut it. He says, I've got this door open and you've got access anytime you want it. For you have a little strength and you've kept my word and you haven't denied my name. Now, I've got to give you a caveat while we're talking about this. I'm talking about doors and portals and openings and breaches between the dimension of the spirit, i.e. the spirit of God, and the domain of heaven and the domain of the angels of God. And earth dwellers, there are possibilities for commerce and for traffic and for conversation and to receive and to give and to establish business, and all sorts of things can take place when those breaches or those doors or those apertures are open. But I want you to know it's possible to open other doors too. It's possible to open a door to the underworld. It's possible to open a door to the dimension of demonic spirits, and they are not the same. Satan and all of his rebellious angels were cast out and down into the earth. And so they are domiciled here in the earth, but they're not standing in that holy place with God and the angels of God, except they're there on business. So there are places where you can, like in pagan worship and rituals of sacrifice, you can draw the attention of demonic things, and you can open up a floodgate of demonic access in your life and in your home. I want you to know and understand, when you're playing with things you don't understand, like a Ouija board or something like that, or palm readers or familiar spirits or tarot cards or a pornography site on the internet, when you open that, you've opened up a floodgate for spirits, and they'll come into your life and into your home. And I just want you to know, I am glad tonight that somebody left a door open for me when it was my day to come to the house of God. I'm so glad that somebody left a door standing wide open when it was my turn to open the Word of God and come to an apostolic church. But I'll tell you, it ought to make you cold on the inside to consider the fact that you're opening up doors to demonic things when you open up those things that are not like God. And instead of inviting the angels of God and the presence of God and the promise of God, you're inviting demonic things to come in and lay their hands on your babies and lay their hands on your marriage, lay their hands on your finances and all that pertains to your life. There are different kinds of doors. And every time you reach out and lay your hand on something that's outside the Word of God, and you venerate and you worship something that's not like God, or you recreate the worship of the pagan gods of the ancients, I want you to know those gods are yet alive in the earth. And they respond when people reach out to them, just as God responds. So if you're going to leave a door open, make sure it's the right door. Make sure it's the door to the kingdom of God. Make sure it's the door to the presence of God and the angels of God. So quite often here, we talk about portals. Ways, because the scripture is very, very clear, and we've spent a good bit of time in service and in theology classes and otherwise talking about accessing the Spirit of God, because we read in Genesis chapter 1 that everything begins with the moving of the Spirit of God. And we understand that, and it makes sense, because God is spirit and you in your essence are spirit. The day you lay your body down, your spirit makes its way back to God. You just have to understand that the essential nature of life is spiritual. And so we understand that, and we see the template in Genesis chapter 1 where God shows up and the world is without form, it is void, it's covered with darkness and covered with unfulfilled potential, which is water, it's covered with water, and the Spirit of God moves upon the deep or broods upon the deep, and then God speaks. So we understand that the first stages or the first movements in the creative act of God have to do with His Spirit and His Word. And then we understand that He brings forth light or revelation, and then He brings forth a ground of being, and then He brings forth everything that man will have need of, and then He brings forth a man and a woman in a garden, and they've got an atmosphere, and they've got support structure set up for them, and a habitable order that they can live in. And it's an amazing thing. So we see that, but we also intuit that is a template for every area in my life. So the church is in a city, and the city is dark, but the church can move by the Spirit of God. And we can, if we can get God to move in to our situation, then the Spirit of God is there. And then if we can get the Word of God to begin to move, then the Word of God is there. And we can recreate the fact of Genesis chapter 1 in our homes and in our lives and in a city where we're trying to minister to people that are living in darkness. And it begins with accessing the Word of God and accessing the Spirit of God. And you do that through what we would call portals. You do that through identifiable methodology that we find in the Word of God. We identify prayer and worship and the Word of God. We identify prayer as a portal where we can open up the breach between the heavenly dimension and the earthly. We recognize prayer. praise and worship as an opening up, a breach in between those two spiritual universes, or the dimensional realms that we live in earth and God lives in heaven, or the Word of God is also a portal. And so we focus on those things. Now, here's how it works. Prayer is a portal. Everybody say, prayer is a portal. And another angel came, I'm in Revelation 8, and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints. So the angel has incense, but the angel also has collected the prayers of all the saints. How do you get the prayers of all the saints? Because prayer opens up access for angels to come to you and for you to be heard in heaven. And he's loading it up. I read in Hebrews chapter 1 that the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to those that are heirs of salvation, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And so we understand that prayer goes up, but it's not a one-way street. It's like the ladder of Jacob, and there's angels ascending and descending on it, and there's an angel coming down to take up your prayers. And I don't know if he's got a bucket, I don't know how that works, but I'm just reading to you from the metaphorical language of the Word of God. But however it works, the system of God collects your prayers and brings them before the throne of God, and then he fills that same bucket up with an answer, and then he hurls it down in the earth. And so whatever you're praying about, I want you to know God still answers prayer. And when the door is open, God is there. And God has an answer for every need in this place. Clap your hands unto him. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. Give God a little praise right now. If God's ever answered a prayer for you, you ought to give him some praise right now. If God's filled your need and been your provider, you ought to give him some praise right now. If God's been your healer, God's been your way maker, you need to give him some praise. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. So then prayer opens up the commerce, the opening, the breach, the portal, if you would, between heaven and earth. Praise and worship, I won't delineate between the two. One seems to be a little more energetic and boisterous, and the other seems to be a little sweeter. And you'll have to talk to a real theologian to get the differentiation there. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you shall not need to fight in this battle. This is Jehoshaphat. This is a great enemy has formed up by many nations against Judah. And they've been praying. And Jehoshaphat stands before God, opens the portal of prayer, stands before God with his wives and his little ones and all the people. And he prays this marvelous prayer. And he says, we don't have any strength, neither do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. If you ever wanted to memorize a prayer, memorize that one. Set yourself before God, because humility is something God can't resist. And then God moves on a prophet. And the prophet says, you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness. Everybody say, holiness is beautiful. And as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Everybody say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped destroy another. Abject confusion broke out in the ranks of his enemies, and they began to kill one another. together, and all Jehoshaphat sent out was the choir. But when the choir began to sing God and praise God in the beauty of holiness and sing and praise God because his mercy endures forever, angels began to move in from that heavenly dimension, and they moved into the earthly, and they walked up and started nudging and beating and slapping on some of those guys from Moab and Mount Seir, and they thought it was the other guy, and they pulled knives and swords and went at it and killed one another. I don't know how God does that to your enemy, but I want you to know your enemy is not your problem. Your proximity to God is your problem. Your enemy is never your problem, because God is always bigger than your enemy. But you need to get God on location. You need to get God on sight. And there's nothing that draws God and God's host any quicker than prayer and praise and worship. You need to learn how to worship God and entice the presence and the word and the angelic host of God into your realm. Praise God. And then it becomes God's fight. And he says, you don't need to fight this fight. God is going to fight for you. And I would suggest to you, too, that the word of God opens the breach, opens the portal in our text today, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord and the word of God was in there, the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And so the priests are bearing the ark of the Lord of all the earth, and their feet shall rest in the waters of Jordan. Then the waters are going to stand up, and a breach is formed. I want to suggest to you that when you speak the word of God in your house, in your prayer, in your praise, when you utter the word of God in a Bible study or in a message in the house of God or in a witness, that things begin to open. That's why so often when you're really there where I tell you, I feel anointing when I'm preaching in church like this. I feel a lot of anointing. I have felt extraordinary anointing with an empty house, essentially, an empty house, more so in the last several weeks than I have felt in the months prior to that. And I think it's just God saying, it's all right, we're taking care of business. That thing, just keep preaching the word. But some of the sweetest anointing I've ever felt is when I'm in a one-on-one or with a little family somewhere, and I'm witnessing to them, or on a job somewhere witnessing, and the Holy Ghost comes down. When you start handling the word of God, what is that? What is that I feel? And some folks say, oh, I feel it. It makes my hair stand up on my arms. It's good. I got hair on my arms. I don't have any on my head. I couldn't detect the presence of God, you know. But they say, I feel that. And some people get chill bumps, and some folks express it in different ways. But what's happening there? You've opened up the word of God, and you've opened it in an application that God is very concerned about. He loves that individual. He died for that individual. He wants you to be a witness and a light in all of the world. And so when you begin to do that, God shows up. God listens at what we talk about. There in the last chapter, or in the third chapter of Malachi, it said, and they that love the Lord spoke often one another about him. And God heard it. And God said, hey, yeah, when I gather my jewels, they're going to be mine. God listens in. God's an eavesdropper. He listens in on what you say and how you talk. And when you're murmuring and complaining and griping, God goes off in some other area. He's not interested in all of that. And when you're whining and complaining, even when you call it prayer, God's not interested in that. God's not going to show up when your prayer meeting is whining and complaining. God will show up when your prayer is biblical prayer. Somebody say praise the Lord. But God shows up when you open up the word, and you can feel his presence, and you can feel his anointing there. And I suggest to you today that handling the word of God opens up a portal. It doesn't matter where you are, on an industrial job, in an office complex somewhere, in a bank building, just in your home or in the street. It doesn't matter where you are. God will show up and the door opens up. Jacob made a mistake. When Jacob was at Bethel, Jacob saw the ladder and he saw the angels ascending and descending. And then God was at the top of it and God reiterated the covenant to Jacob. And he was there because of his word. And he was there because of the prayer of the old man Isaac, prayed over the head of that young man Jacob. And God was there. But Jacob made a mistake. Jacob thought it was related to the place. Jacob thought it was related to that place, so much so that he renamed it Bethel, the house of God. And you make a very elementary mistake when you consider that there's more God, more anointing, more promise, more possibility in the corporate building that we gather in than there is any other place. Because God's not there because the building is there. God is there because the covenant man or woman is there. God shows up where his covenant is. And that was what was happening at Bethel. And he said, how dreadful and wonderful is this place? Surely this is the house of God. So he names it that. Surely this is the gate of heaven. But that wasn't why God was there. God was there because his word, his covenant, and the old man's prayer was there. So God is going to be anywhere you are. So what I'm suggesting to you today, this portal is portable. This doorway, this access way is anywhere you are when you begin to utilize those biblical methodologies of prayer and praise and the word of God. Praise God. So when the portal opens, miracles break through. Exodus chapter 16. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna. Or they said, what is it? For they wist not, they knew not what it was. And Moses said, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. They're going to eat that for 40 years. And it's like the food of the gods. And they murmured about everything. They got tired of the manna too. But what happened there? Something broke through from the heavens and provided them with something directly from the hand of God that they couldn't get any other place, any other way. It was food prepared and delivered to them by God. When you open up the breach, when you open the portal, natural law is interrupted. And here in our text today, and as they that bear the ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up like a heap. Now, water doesn't do that. That's not the natural law. When you open that breach, when you open that portal, miracles come in, but natural law, natural expectation can be suspended. The waters which came down from above and rose up on a heap very far from the city Adam. It was just like the Red Sea. God opened up a portal for them, a place, a breach between slavery and freedom, and slavery and the control of Pharaoh to the controls of God. And when you open the breach, the invisible becomes visible, or revelation is open to you. 2 Kings 6, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. This is when Elisha and his servant are in the mountain, and the mountains are circled with the armies of Samaria or Assyria, and the servant is really, really terrified about it. And Elisha prays a simple prayer, Lord, open his eyes. And he opens. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And so when that portal is open, young people, children, new people can see with the eyes of heaven. They can see what's there in the spirit. These incidences are replete in the word of God. When God appears to Moses at the burning bush, that's a breakthrough from heaven to earth. When the captain of the Lord's host stands with Joshua, and like the next chapter beyond our reading here, Joshua pulls out his sword and he says, "Are you with us or with our adversary?" And the answer is, "Nay, but I am here as the captain of the Lord's host." And because they are there and the word of God is there, there's an opening there and angels are coming through. And I think this was a theophany, a manifestation of God himself. And again, at Jacob's ladder, the angels are there, Jacob at Bethel. But interestingly, when he leaves Haran in 20 years after staying at his uncle Laban's place, he says he sees the angels of God again. And he renames the place again to Mahanaim, or the double host, the second host of God. And what he means is, I think there's something special about this place. This is the second time that I've seen the host of heaven or the angels of God. But the angels are there because Jacob is there. They're traveling because Jacob is traveling, and they're going to be with him all the way back to the land of Abraham. So crossing Jordan here in our text is a nation of individuals that are coming out of this pointless, fruitless wilderness wandering and into the inheritance and the promise of God. And the opening is like that. If you feel like, if you would classify your life as an empty wandering, a dry place, and you're just going in circles and you don't have any purpose or meaning in your life, I want you to know they went from that condition to a place of possessing the promise of God. And I want to tell you something here today. If you are in that place, if you're wandering in circles, if you're dissatisfied with your life, and if you feel like your existence is just dry and meaningless and pointless, I want to invite you to come to the house of God and come to a Bible study and let us show you what God has for you. But I'll tell you what you can do right where you are right now. You can drop to a knee, you can lift up your hands, you can begin to talk to God. And if you're an agnostic, just tell him that. And if you're an atheist, just feel foolish for a moment and tell him that. I talked to an atheist one time who was telling me how she met God. Now that's a striking shock for an atheist to meet God. It kind of upsets your apple cart. But she was complaining to God that she didn't believe in, about all the babies that were getting burned up in Vietnam with the napalm and all the firebombing and all of that. And she was just angry, and she had to be angry at somebody, and she didn't know who to be angry with. So she took it to God, and she said, "God, if you're there," she said, "what about?" And she started giving it to God, and God gave it right back to her. He spoke to her, and she knew she had heard from God, and she knew in a moment of time that not only was he there, was he real, but he was capable of talking to her. I want to suggest to you, I don't know what your background is, but if you're an agnostic, go ahead and lift up your voice and say, "God, I'm tired of living like I am. I don't even know if you're there or if I can have a connection with you, but if you're able, would you tap me on the shoulder and talk to me today?" I'm telling you, God will stop in the middle of holding the universe together and spend some time with you. God will lay his hand on your life and your life condition. If you're an atheist, just try it. What do you have to lose? Nobody's around. If your friends were there, they'd think you were crazy, but you're all by yourself. And I tell you, I don't really believe in you. I don't believe that you are really an atheist. I believe there's something down on the inside of you. I tell you right now, if I kicked you off a roof before you hit the ground, you would say, "Oh, God." Yes, you would. They say there are no atheists in foxholes. Because even if you don't believe in God, when that stuff starts going off all around you, you're digging in the dirt and you're praying to whoever. Somebody help me. So, atheist all by yourself today, just stop for a minute. I'm telling you. Try it. It's amazing. It's amazing. When I came, I didn't know that God was real. I didn't know. And then I saw the prophecy, and it just jolted my whole world. My wife didn't know that he was real, but she thought she was dying. She's a young lady. She thinks she's dying. She looks out into the winter sky and the stars. And she said, it looks like if you could make all that, that you could talk to us. And we could know who you are. And she said, if I could find you, I'd serve you. But I can't be, I can't, and she listed some things she couldn't be that I won't list because somebody would get offended by it. But you know, it wasn't just a couple of weeks, maybe less than that, maybe a few days, that God began to knock on the door of our family and our social circle, and we came into a wonderful experience with God. No matter who and where you are right now, if you just begin to talk to God, just stop. It's a beautiful day outside. Just lift up your eyes and begin to talk to him and say, God, I feel like I'm just wandering in circles and my life is dry and my life is empty. Can you do something for me? Can I find you? Is there any way you and I can do business? I want you to know God will come and open the door on his side, because what you've done, you've made a way. You've opened the door. You gave the invitation. 40 years ago, before our reading here, the Jews came to a door just like this generation, but they didn't go in. The ones that were invited wouldn't go. And now at our reading, at our text, that dynamic is open again. It's a seasonal thing. It's not always open. It's an interesting thing. But you can find a place to have a transformational experience from one dimension to the other. So can we have some music? This is a powerful metaphor, not simply a dimensional shift in lives of individuals, but this is like access to weighty things, to spiritual things. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people and out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, you know what? I like that second song that y'all sang, that real pretty new song. Can y'all do that? Excuse me. Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan and out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them into the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. In the breach, when the door is open, you have access to things, and you can get those things and bring them out into your natural world. I want to tell you, if you can get a door open between where you are and God is, you can get into where he is. He can come to you, and you can get gifts and knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and you can get the answer for your home. You can get the answer for your marriage. You can get the answer for your business life or your money life. Lives and families and businesses and relationships can change. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones, that you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. You build a memorial is what you do. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that you might fear the Lord your God forever. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. I want you to hear and understand that when you make your way into the realm of the Spirit, you can make changes in your natural world. You can get heavy things. He told them, I want 12 guys to pick up 12 stones. And knowing guys, they didn't just pick up a little hand-sized rock, because all the other guys were there. So they picked up the biggest rock they could find, showing how mighty they were, and carried that all the way to Gilgal. And they literally transformed the realm of the Spirit and brought it into the realm of the natural. I want you to know that you can do that today. When you open up the portal, when you get out into where the Spirit is, when God breaks the breach and makes room from one dimension to another, you can pick up weighty, solid things out of there and bring them into your marriage and bring them into your home and bring them into your babies and have something substantive change in your life and in your home and in your family. You can make changes in your world that you think are set in stone and they never will change and everything will just keep being like it's always been. But I'm telling you, that's not true. Not if you get over to where God is. Not if you let God into where you are. You can get something that'll change your life, change your home, change your family, change your world. They not only set up a memorial there, but they set up a memorial in the bed of that river. Joshua set up 12 stones there. He not only changed things in the natural, but he changed things in the spirit. And when the waters, the type of the spirit, closed back over that place, and the monument that he'd made in the spirit was covered up by the spirit or by the waters again, that thing was there. Do you know that when God gave the keys to Peter, keys unlock doors. When he gave the keys to Peter, he said, whatever you bind on the earth, it's going to be bound in the heavens. And whatever you loose on the earth, it's going to be loosed in the heavens. You say, well, what does that mean? It means the church has the keys and they can change things on the earth for sure. They can change things in heaven. In heaven, there's the record book. In heaven, there's a record of every sin you've ever committed. In heaven, there's a log and a memorial to everything you've ever done that's not like God. But the church this morning, the church can take you and put you down in the name of Jesus. And when you get up, not only is something changed on the earth, but something's changed in the heaven. Because if you could make your way there today and you could find the log book, the record book of God, and find your name in it, you wouldn't find any of those sins listed there anymore, because they're under the blood and they've been changed. What we bind on earth is bound in the heavens. Praise God. If you need a change today, start talking to God right now. If you need God to come into where you are and rearrange your life, start talking to God right now. If you want to go from slavery to an identity in God and a constitution in the Word of God, start talking to Him right now. If you want to go from the wilderness to promise, go ahead and start talking to God right now. My God, that's the door. He said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. But if any man would open up unto me, I'll come in. I'll come in. I'll come in. Come on, somebody open up the door today. Right there where you are. Let God in. You don't have to be in a church house full of people. God will move in right there on the job. God will move in right there in your kitchen. Right there in your house. Hallelujah. Hey. Somebody talk to Him. Somebody call on Him. He'll start moving on you right now. Hallelujah. Start praying that prayer. An angel will come and take that prayer right into the presence of God. Ah, there's doors opening up right now. Come on, lift up those hands. Lift up those hands. Lift up your voice. Just begin to talk to Him right now. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost right there. You just begin to praise Him and magnify Him and worship Him. He can pour out His Spirit upon you. You'll feel His presence. You'll feel the touch of God. You'll feel a change coming on your language. When you do, just let that go. God will fill you. You'll know that you've been filled because you'll begin to speak in another language. When that happens, just let it go, because God's filling you up like a vessel from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. He's going to transform your life. Somebody open up the door right now. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Open up the door there in your home. Your babies need to know this thing is real in a new generation. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Open up the door. Let God in. He'll take care of all those other things you've let in your house. If you've been opening up the other doors and all kinds of things are coming in, you want to get them out of your house. The only person that has the power to do that is the Lord God Almighty. When He shows up, they'll run for cover. Come on, open the door. Let God in. Through prayer, through worship, through the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. Lay your hand on your children today. Take somebody's hand there by you. Come on, turn that house into a sanctuary of praise. Turn that house into a sanctuary of prayer. Let God move in that place. Let angels ascend and descend in your house. Move out of a place of bondage into a place of possession and liberty in God. Come on. Hyperlink together. You can help them open a door in their home. Pray, church.
Lord,
hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost move in your house, in your life right now.
We
it'll help somebody
you,
else.
We worship you.
Ah, come on, your
You're
prayer can reach all the way to heaven. Let's lift up our voices, lift our hands, and clap our hands and magnify God. We praise you, Lord God. We worship you. We're so thankful to be a part of what you're doing. God, I pray, touch somebody's life, somebody's heart today. Bring forth your kingdom. We pray that you would in Jesus' name. God bless you. We're so glad to be in your home today. I'm praying that God would bless you in this time of uncertainty and strangeness, and that you would come back stronger than you've ever been, more blessed, more prosperous in all the things of God. Lord bless you. Have a great and a beautiful Sunday. We'll see you tonight. We're going to have prayer at 6 and an apostolic service at 6:30. God bless you.